Well, good morning. My name is Cale Lang. I'm the pastor over Northridge Sabetha, and this is maybe the tallest pulpit I've ever been behind. I feel like just a wee little man back here. It is a great honor to be here on your last Sunday in this building. Jason was busy enough moving stuff this week that it's better for me to fill in for him this week, and so it's just a great joy and a great honor to be here with you guys on what an exciting season of ministry for Northridge Seneca. So much to celebrate where God has brought you from, and yet so much to celebrate where God is taking you to, and it's been really fun to get us kind of be a little bit at an arm's length and just watch the way God has worked over here and all the ways that God has brought people closer to himself over these last 10 years or so. And we are excited as well to see what God will continue to do through you and through his work here over in Northridge Seneca. Today we're going to look at, spoiler alert, the Christmas story. I know, of course we do. And in fact, it's a story that we know well. In fact, maybe so well that we lose sight of just how improbable the whole thing is. How crazy of a story it is. And so I'm going to read the Christmas story, at least part of it, from Luke's account in Luke chapter 2, I'll start in verse 8. And I'm going to read from the ESV, so if you have the NLT like Jason often uses, it'll be a little different. And in the same region, they were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. Oh, I do hope we see just how improbable this is, how unlikely it is that God would use these people to tell the greatest story ever told, that he would use these people to bring about the redemption of all the world, that the angels were going to appear to the shepherds. They appeared to them. It wasn't like the shepherds overheard something in the marketplace. Or maybe they'd overheard somebody of significance. No, instead, the angel appeared to them lest they could ever say this was not the message for them. Over and over in this account, it's this message given to them. But these were not knights or kings or royalty. In the social economic status of that day, the shepherds were down here. They were lowly. A little history here. Like Bethlehem is not far from Jerusalem. Jerusalem was where the temple was. And so on top of the need for human consumption, sheep were also kept in that region for the sacrifices and the temple. So there would have been quite a number of sheep in that area. Fencing was in its infancy. There has been some discovery of like stone fences in small areas, kind of paddock areas. But for the most part, it was open grazing on open hills. So here's what you had. You had a group of sheep, and they were cared for by a shepherd or a group of shepherds. And their job, of course, was to protect them from predators and from thieves. It was to keep them together, to lead them to water. It was to keep them safe. But they had to be there all the time. And so the shepherds lived among the elements, day in and day out. And so you can imagine the personal hygiene would have not been high. They would have smelled, they would have you would have known a shepherd. Not the highest in society. Like, you could have seen them coming and you would have smelt them when they were there. And God yet chose to use these shepherds in his redemptive plan. I think he used the shepherds for a couple reasons, if I could speculate. One, it's that he wanted to show that he can use whoever he wants to use. And he continues to weave this theme of the shepherd throughout his Bible, throughout his word. The psalmist wrote, and maybe the most famous psalm, Psalm 23. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters." He took this idea of shepherd from Old Testament till now, that God's working through these shepherds, and eventually Jesus will be called the great shepherd, the one that cares for us. But we're so familiar with the story that we forget how unlikely it was that the angels would appear to the shepherds and send them on the way to say, "Listen, just so there's no confusion, I'm going to give you a sign, and this is how you're going to know that this is from me. You're going to find the most unlikely thing. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth, but instead of being in a crib or a bassinet, instead of seeing in a room or a place that's safe and quiet, you're going to find that baby placed in a manger." "What? Like, no, you're going to find that baby there, and that'll be a sign to you." And so these simple shepherds went over to see what they had been told. And what they found exactly what God had told them that they were going to find. There was a baby, and there beside them was Mary and Joseph. And it says that they shared with one another what they had seen and what they had heard. So now you've got these simple shepherds standing before this simple couple, this young couple, Mary and Joseph, certainly unqualified to raise the Savior of the world. Like, parents here, parents, do you remember when you had your first child? How wildly unqualified you felt slash were. Do you remember that? They come and you're like, "I don't know what we're doing." And you have this precious life and you're like, we just gotta care for this life and but we don't know yet. By the time the third one comes along, right? The old one's feeding on the one, you're picking up food off the ground and giving it to the older one, right? But the first one comes, you're like, "I don't know, I think we have to boil this, we have to clean that, we have to put a safety thing on that one." No. By the time the third one comes along, it's like, "Come on, you'll be all right, let's go." But when your first one comes, you remember how unqualified you felt. Picture Mary and Joseph, this young, scared, unmarried couple, thrust into a role that they didn't sign up for, they didn't ask to be, and they certainly weren't qualified for. And God said, "I'm going to use you for my story. I'm going to use you for my redemptive plan." And so as I thought about this picture this week, about the shepherds gathered with Mary and Joseph, you've got the most humble of society standing and staring at the manger which holds the most holy. You've got the humble ones staring at the Holy One of Israel, the one who's come to redeem mankind. What a great picture of how God can work through us. See, this should free us. That God works so well through the least of these should free us from feeling like we could never be used by God. Because sometimes we come and we feel like we're too low, we're too bad, we're too far gone to ever be used by God. Well, on one hand, you're right. Like, Scripture never really puffs us up. Never really tells us, "Hey, you're all right." You know what it does tell us is that God can use us in spite of us. Often we can feel paralyzed because we're not enough. And yet this reminds us that God can use us. Sometimes it reminds us that we're not enough. But you know what else it can remind us? It's of those people. You know those people that we think aren't enough? We'll let them in, I guess, but they're not really Jesus people. their lives is not on track, whatever. And this reminds us that God can use anybody he wants. It means he can use us, which is good news for us, and he can use those people, which is good news for them. He can use who he wants. It's great news that there is a place in God's story for each of us. I want to see what their response is, and I think we can learn from it. They gathered around, and they saw all that God had done and told them and called them to. He says that they stood there in, basically in awe of what God has done. Then verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. So the shepherds went there, empowered by the message of the angels, saw exactly what they said they were going to see. This is what I love. What they do, they went back to where they came from, except now they went back praising God for all that they had seen and heard. That their praise was informed by where they had seen God at work. Here's what I love. They didn't go somewhere else. They went right back where they were. There's a time and a place for us to go out on mission, to send people all around the world, because at the end of the day, we want to see the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world, that every tribe and tongue and nation may bend their knee at the name of Jesus. Praise God, that's what we want. There's a time and a place for that. But our default is this. God works in our heart. He puts us in awe of him, and we return where we are and glorify God for all he has seen and done. Listen, as a bit of an outsider in, as a visitor, let me speak what I've seen. Next week, you'll be in a brand new building. Why? Because this is a place full of people telling people what they have seen and heard. You're going to a brand new building because you can't fit in this one any longer, because you have been on mission where you are. You have returned to where you're at to reach and to pass out Bibles and to share God's word and to sing songs of praise and to live out the mission where you are. And praise God, he is working and responding and leading people to him, and he's using all of us. I don't want to speak to the simpleness of you, but I will speak to the simpleness of Jason and I, because we office next to each other. And he knows my stupidity, and I certainly know his. And by the way, we're going to miss them over there. We were grieving that this morning. As they have offices here, there was a life brought by these guys over in Sabetha, as we've officed together next to each other and been on mission together. And so we're excited to see the growth, but also kind of grieving how changes bring about things. But praise God, I see your people at work and as a body at work together, because you are faithful. You're allowing God to use you right where you are. I want to remind you and continue to remind you that there is a place in God's story for each of us. We can be paralyzed by all the lies that Satan wants to tell us, of things that we don't know enough, or that we're not enough, or who are we to say, or who am I? And yet God's using the shepherds, the ones out in the fields all alone, not the educated, not the best and the brightest. He's using them to tell his story. Then he uses this young couple, scared and unsure, likely confused, and he says, you're the ones. And he brings the child forth from them, and all of them, these humble people, in awe of what God is doing. How easy it is for us to discount how God might use people, whether that's us or somebody else. And yet, we are reminded all what he has done and will do and continue to do through us, through our ordinary faithfulness towards him. Isn't that refreshing? That we don't have to have a resume that we present to God and hope that it's enough to be used by God. Isn't that not refreshing? That we don't have to hope that we are enough. We're not enough. And yet God is powerful enough to use people like me and you for his glory. But here's the thing. We have to surrender our lives to him. We have to give our hearts over to him. Because if we're not close, we will stand at an arm's length and be friendly to Jesus, but we will not be followers of Jesus. We will be kind to his message, but we will not be disciples and followers of him. If we're not careful, we will admire the story of God's redemptive plan through history, but we will never fully give our lives to that. I'm reminded of that so often, and maybe especially at Christmas time. As I listen to Christmas songs, either on the radio or Spotify, wherever you hear them, and I listen to these Christmas music, I'm not talking like Here Comes Santa Claus, but like Christ exalting lyrics sung by people who don't yet know God. And my thought is, you're so close. Do you hear the words that you're singing? O come, Emmanuel, pleading that God be with us. Do you hear the words that you're singing? Oh, you're so close to the truth, but the truth is still a lyric to you. I don't want us to have an arm's length to the story of God, that we keep it and we're like, oh, that's nice and that's great. And at Christmas time, we feel the warm fuzzies of Christmas, praise God. But we don't ever lean into those and go, praise God that you came, oh, Emmanuel. That we don't let his story become our story. That we surrender our lives, and instead of a praise for someone else, it's a praise of what God has done for us. Praise God, oh Emmanuel, you have come for me and for you and for us. At Christmas time and at all the time, make sure that we don't keep God at an arm's length, but instead we welcome him in. He's not impressed with us, but he loves us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were not yet perfect, he died for us. He knows us at our lowest point, and he calls us to him. When we surrender our lives and place our faith in him, he gives us new life. So my hope for us is this: that we would read the Christmas story, we would hold it up every year and kind of ring out all of its goodness. That we would see in this story the most unlikely of stories. The most improbable, that he would use shepherds of the fields to be the first witnesses and the first evangelist of this good news of Jesus Christ. That he would use this young couple, Mary and Joseph, to raise the Christ child. And from that, we can see how unlikely but glorious it is that he uses people like me and you for his story. So let's continue to live in awe of what he has done and telling people all about what he has done for us. In a minute, I'm going to run back to Sabetha and preach at our 11 o'clock service, and then a nap this afternoon. But let me finish with this. It has been a great joy to see how God has worked through you over these last many years. And again, I'm excited to see how God uses your brand new building, which I went and saw last week, and it is incredible. I'm excited to see how he uses that space, and most importantly, he continues to use his people to bring about his glory. I'm so thankful for each of you. I'm so thankful for the way God has advanced his gospel over here in Seneca, and I'm excited to see what God continues to do through you and through his word. Let me pray for us. God, I rejoice so much in the people that you can use. I'm grateful you can use people like me and Jason and all of us together, that we can bring about your word and your purpose. God, captivate our hearts. This Christmas time especially, let us be captivated in awe of what you have done, that the King of Kings stepped down from his throne. Help us to live lives that are different because of it. And let us go to the people around us, glorifying you for all you have done. And we praise you for it, and I pray in your name today. Amen.